if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, and welcome to episode 381 of BRB UK. I am Dan, I am one of your hosts. Quick news update, I've still not got coronavirus. Tim Hibbs, have you got coronavirus?
Unconfirmed as yet, but seemingly not.
Coal Man, you've got an Albus Oil thing up your nose. What's going on with you?
Hi! It's hit and miss at the moment.
Right, okay. Do you need to self-isolate? Do we need to mute you so we don't get the virus?
As much as I like joking about this stuff, let's not, in case anyone from my work hears about this and grasses me in, because they would actually not let me go to work, and I need to kind of be at work at the moment.
Would they still pay you, though?
Yeah. Sickness is paid, but my girlfriend was ill, and she had a sore throat and stuff, and it's not coronavirus.
Oh, how was her holiday in Italy, by the way? Was it all right?
Yeah, we just got back from Wuhan.
Oh, lovely. That's my favourite. I love it. It's really underrated.
She's better now. I'm starting to get a bit of a tingle in the old throat, so I've got self-medications here.
There are worse places to get a tingle in a loving, consensual relationship.
Tingle in the old jingle, if you know what I mean.
Anyway, can we just agree on something, chaps?
No.
Coronavirus can bugger off.
Oh, it really can.
So, there are 5 conferences. Four conferences. Let me just double check the text. Yes, 4 conferences that are looking like they're pretty much...
Well done for reading the agenda before the show, Dan.
Actually, hang on. Right, live news update. 3 conferences out of 5 that we've got listed look like they're going to be cancelled.
Let's start off with, because last week's news, obviously, well, the last 2 weeks we've been talking about these updates to, first it was PAX East, which went ahead, and some people did drop out, but seemed to go very well. And then the next was GDC, as you say. There's more cancellations, which between the last show and this one, Unity, Microsoft, GameStack, Epic Games, Iron Galaxy, Amazon, and Activision Blizzard all dropped out of GDC. So the organizers decided to cancel the show and then host it instead later in the summer, depending on how coronavirus-y things go. But South by Southwest, that's happening at the moment. That's over in Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. And that's a big one, because that's not only video games, but movies as well. Yeah. And there have been a lot of studios that have been debating whether to pull out or to carry on. And there have been people calling, saying it's irresponsible to go ahead with a festival of this size and, you know, not take more precautions because of the coronavirus.
Well,
but again, it's going ahead, but people are pulling out.
Wash your hands.
Look to the left of you. Look to the right. Those people next to you, none of you are washing your hands. Sort it out.
Exactly. Wash your hands. I mean, do I have every... I'm just going to say, hi, welcome to the BRB UK podcast. My name's Dana, and I'd like you to wash your hands. I will even sing Happy Birthday twice per Bojo's recommendations at the beginning of the show if you really want to do that. We can have some private wash handy time, all right?
But anyway, so Twitter and Facebook are pulled out of South by Southwest, and also Amazon Studios have been reported as cancelling all activities, unnecessary travel, and all that kind of stuff. So they've also pulled out.
My company has done exactly the same. It ceased international travel with immediate effect, including if you are actually at an airport waiting to get on a connecting flight.
I can't talk about my work, so there we go. But
I can say my work. MI6 are a lot more lax about what you can talk about these days. It's fine.
We need to go international to, you know, for all the murdering and stuff.
You do.
Eve Fan Fest, that one's been cancelled as well.
Can I just say, if there was ever a convention that merited the word, the fest in, as in festering, it's probably Eve Fan Fest.
And F8, which is Facebook's conference, they've cancelled that conference as well. The last one in the news this week has been E3, because a lot of people are expecting E3 to not just close down, but LA is actually a state of risk at the moment. So
it is. Well, no, California's declared a state of emergency, haven't they, as of today?
So you're expecting E3 not to go ahead. Good luck. Good news, guys. ESA, they want your money, so they don't care.
Well, exactly. E3 is like, we will be the last one standing. I mean, even if there's no one exhibiting for any other reason or no one wanting to go for other reasons, they're still going to be like, no, we're sticking to our guns. It's going to happen.
I mean, what bad timing for E3, because this is meant to be the big year, their big rebirth. You know, the last couple of years, they've let the public in, they've let you buy tickets, and it's not really been that impressive. So this is meant to be the big year, the reason you go to E3, the reason you buy a ticket. What? We're all getting sick because of crowds of people spreading germs.
I will be amazed if E3 goes ahead in its current form.
Well, they say they're moving ahead full speed.
You say it's a bad thing for E3. I don't necessarily think it is. I think it may give them the perfect excuse for it not being a success this year, whatever happens.
Well, I actually think, I mean, because I don't know what the financials for E3 look like, but the rumour is that they're running a little low on money in the kitty. And I don't know how recoverable, if it did get cancelled, how recoverable the losses would be, because I know insurance companies are finding interesting new ways to get out of paying money to people who have had to change their plans because of coronavirus. So it could be the death knell for E3.
Could very well be. And also, I mean, this is the third year we've been that they've been letting the public in, selling them tickets and stuff. After last year's big, hey, we accidentally doxed a bunch of our attendees, press and enthusiast press, what have you. this is the year they go, 100 people got coronavirus while attending E3, you know, something like that. That would just be the headline that kills it, you know?
Maybe not the best choice of words.
Wash your hands!
Wash your bloody hands! Wash your hands, put your Purell on, wash it off again! Just keep washing!
No, don't bother with Purell's loaded. Well, Purell is, I'm sure it is excellent in many ways before we get sued. However, if you really want to show that coronavirus who's boss, wash your hands with soap and water!
Just never stop washing. I'm washing my hands right now. All right, I'm not, but I'm thinking good thoughts towards washing my hands. I'm thinking washing my hands the minute I've stopped recording.
Unfortunately, you know, Colman, I know it's usually the thought that counts, but really, for infection control, it doesn't really work that way.
Fair enough. Another big gathering for video games is the BAFTA Game Awards.
It certainly is, and my God, there's a lot of nominations to go through.
We're not going to go through all of them.
Good, well, I would like to go through nominees for Best Game and nominees for British Game.
Yeah, okay, that sounds enough. Like a good plan.
Ah, okay.
So you've got Control, Disco Elysium, ooh, Luigi's Mansion 3, Outer Wilds, Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice, and Untitled Goose Game, all up for Best Game.
That's a good list, no, I would say.
Which is your pick for this?
Outer Wilds, I'm surprised, made it in there.
Outer Wilds and not Outer Worlds, which a lot of people said when our Golden Barrel Awards came up. Mm. Are you sure you meant Outer Worlds and not Outer Wilds? So, interesting development.
Well, I played Outer Worlds and I didn't play Outer Wilds, but I heard good things about it. A lot of people have said good things. Another one I should possibly play at some point.
So while you were playing Outer Worlds, you were thinking that whilst I'm playing that, I should also be playing Outer Wilds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Excellent. Good guy, we cleared that up.
Wasn't that on Game Pass as well?
I think it was.
Hmm.
But what are we picking out of this? What do you reckon?
See, most outlets seem to go with Sekiro, no? So
they do, but knowing... Yeah, exactly. But I know there's a panel of judges who theoretically are meant to play through these games, and they tend to be, generally speaking, arty movie types. With that in mind, I would imagine it's probably going to go to either Control or Disco Elysium.
Yeah, that's what
I was thinking Disco Elysium on that basis. Personally, I'd go Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, but then again...
Game hates me.
I've not played all the games in this list.
Well, my personal pick would be Luigi's Mansion 3, but I'm probably alone on that, so, you know, hey.
Nominees for Best British Game.
Yes.
Dirt Rally 2.0.
Uh-huh.
Heaven's Vault.
I really like
and Bikes.
That game. That Heaven's Vault is a very good game.
Well, good. That's why it's on the list, Timothy.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Knights and Bikes, Observation, Planet Zoo, Total War, Three Kingdoms.
I think probably Dirt Rally 2.
I think it might. I think there's a good chance it will go to Knights and Bikes, but I'd give it to Planet Zoo.
I know, but Observation got a lot of buzz when it came out, no?
Yes, Observation I did play through.
Like, Dirt Rally's very good, but very simmy, and I'm not sure how well that'll go over with a panel of judges overall kind of thing, no?
I don't know. Observation's got an interesting potential mechanic to it, but it ends up actually being a quite by-the-book sci-fi story. So, I don't know. I think it will probably be Dirt Rally 2 myself.
Tim, pick two categories.
Well, I was just going to say, rather than going through categories, I was just happy that Ape Out got a couple of shout-outs, and one of them was in audio achievement. So, could mention that. It's a very audio-focused game, so that kind of makes sense. But it got a nomination for debut game as well. And debut game's an interesting category, so maybe talk about that.
Okay, so in debut game, we've got Ape Out, Death Stranding, Disco Elysium, Katana Zero, Knights and Bikes, Manifold Garden.
I would like to see that go to Disco Elysium, personally.
Yeah, there's one game that's got the slightly bigger budget in that list, though, I think.
Ape Out is spectacular.
As is Knights and Bikes. I mean, they spent their £3.57 wisely.
Katana Zero's little indie game thing, I think we played that at Res.
Yeah,
last year.
That's a really good game.
Yeah, and I quite like that. I want to pick that up at some point. I still haven't done so, but yeah, more financially than anything else. But yeah, Ape Out was possibly, again, my personal pick from the list, just because I really enjoyed that game. It kind of got slightly swept under the rug with the Game of the Year kind of nominations and stuff that we discussed. But yeah, I still really enjoyed it. It's a really good game if you haven't played it.
Because just having a read through these things, I think there's actually a number of these categories. I think it's going to be a bit of a Death Stranding Disco Elysium showdown.
Maybe. Tim, pick another category.
Game design.
You've got Baba Is You, Control, Disco Elysium, Outer Wilds, Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, and Wattam.
I really want to see Wattam just because it's straight out crazy.
Okay, Wattam's the only one I'm not familiar with. Which one's that?
That is Balls Out. That's from the guy, from the mind that brought you Nobi Nobi Boy.
Right, okay, that's why I don't care. Right, okay. But yeah, I think that might go to Baba Is You, just because that got a lot of buzz amongst like game journalists and I don't know. I think it was more beloved by game designers than anything else in a way. But that's why I think it might win out in a game design category.
I mean, that's an interesting point, Tim, but let me read you the following. In Wattam, more than 100 wacky and carefree characters are waiting to be unlocked to become your friends, from sushi to seashells and gigantic trees to normal-sized toilets.
I made friends with a rock.
Did you?
I mean, I also played Wattam.
Yes.
Get.
I also love the fact that there's brick. There's
the
multicolored turds are an option as well. That's quite fantastic.
It's ice cream.
It's not ice cream. It's a
Honest.
Turd.
Just eat it. Don't think about it.
Really? Really? Yeah. Just chow down on it. That's it. Get stuck right in there.
Bring it back to some categories as well. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order didn't get many nominations, but it did get one for narrative, which I thought was interesting because I'm not...
I don't think that was the strength of that game.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. I liked the story in the game, but I don't think it was the defining strength of the game necessarily, no?
I want to do my picks.
All right.
Yay. So nominees for music: Control, Death Stranding, Disco Elysium, Outer Wilds, The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, and Wattam, which I really think Wattam's going to win that because it's got cool, bizarre, offbeat, acid jazz type music.
Yeah, I'm up for that.
Yeah. It's very Katamari-esque. And Katamari's got a banging soundtrack.
So, yeah, it has got a banging soundtrack, actually.
Also, I want to pick an original property. So you've got Baba Is You, Control, Death Stranding. You're going to see a lot of patterns here. Baba Is You, Control, Death Stranding, Disco Elysium, Outer Wilds, and Untitled Goose Game.
I'd like to see Untitled Goose Game get it as well.
I'd like to see that go to Disco Elysium.
Yes, I think that's probably
Or Untitled Goose Game, just because, you know, it's nice that we all match up for once.
I don't think I ever talked about it on the show, but I did play a bit of that at one point just because it came on Game Pass. And yeah, like, silly and fun and charming.
Well, I would like to see, just having a look at kind of the actor, best supporting actor / actress, usual categories. I would like to see in a performer in a supporting role, the guy who did Artie the janitor from Control. I would like to see him get the gong for that because I think he did a brilliant job. The portraying that character.
I'm thinking.
Are you?
No, I think that one. I like that. Leading role, though, I'd like to see Norman Reedus and his magical fetus.
So would I.
Yeah. Good.
Brilliant. Good.
Is that enough on the BAFTAs? Can we move on?
Love it.
Excellent. So 1 week on from where we announced that, well, we didn't announce, we just reported on that there was a Star Wars game that in the works last year, a spin-off from Battlefront that got cancelled very quietly and then leaked, I guess this year. There's been a leak of another Star Wars project called Project Maverick, and luckily it seems like it's not yet been axed by EA, so we might have something to look forward to.
They've done some art for it, so it makes you think that there might be something to go on there.
This got leaked by European PlayStation Network. They're the same ones who leaked the Resident Evil 3 stuff from PSN.
Good. Well, they've got form. I've got a hand. At least you know what you're getting with them, really. It's like, don't tell them anything. They'll just leak it everywhere.
Yeah, but basically, they don't leak. They don't leak information that's given to them. I think they crawl through the back end of the PlayStation store and manage to find stuff that way. But,
reminds me of a colonoscopy that I once had, actually.
Anyway, Project Maverick, all we've got is a logo and some art to go on, background artwork to go on, and the artwork shows a big Star Destroyer. I think there's some other ships there. They could be rocks. Hard to see. It's got a weird red hue over it, but could be another flight sim.
Yeah, well, Maverick, I think we might see a bit of X-Wing versus TIE Fighter type action with that. I hope it's not on rails, though.
Dan?
What?
I hope it's in VR.
Oh, f*** off.
Look, you've just had a massive series of Star Wars games in VR that everyone played one episode of and then didn't bother with the rest of them because it wasn't very good.
What, the one on the Oculus?
The Quest. Yeah.
I heard it's all right. It's okay.
I haven't played that game, but I watched all of the story and it's not great. But hey.
Yes.
Yeah. More Star Wars. That's only a good thing. As long as
I have a question.
As long as it's good. Yeah.
Is there also a Star Wars Project Untitled Goose Game to go along with Project Maverick?
That's under wraps. Keep quiet. EA will come round and slit our throats in our sleep.
I'm glad you like that, Tim.
This is one of a bounty hunter and a goose going around the galaxy.
Talk to me, Goose. Is it Goose and Maverick the names from...
Yes, Top Gun. Well done. Yes. We got there in the end.
We've tied
Star Wars
it all
Top
in.
Gun.
It all comes back to Top Gun.
It does all come back to Top Gun.
It does. Yeah, I can't remember what I was going to say, but it doesn't really matter. DuckTales Remastered is back on digital stores.
Huzzah! Oh, please tell me I can buy it on the Wii U.
Yes, you can, Dan.
Yay!
We reported on this when it got taken off the stores. There's a remaster of DuckTales. It's a really good version of the game. I remember playing it on PS3. Really, really enjoyed it. It was also on Xbox 360. You can play it on Xbox One with backwards compatibility, Wii U and Steam. Woo-hoo! For some reason, it got taken down. Capcom never revealed why they took it down, but they revealed this week that they put it back
Scrooge
up.
Scrooge wanted more money to swim in. This is how he gets all the money to swim in.
That's probably not that far off base, but replace Scrooge with.
I was thinking it might be more a licensing issue, which is likely because it's a Disney property with a third-party developer.
That's what
Capcom.
I was alluding to, but in the language of DuckTales.
Ah.
Isn't the language of DuckTales?
No, that would be a duck beak, Dan.
Good. Is this Goose Game again?
No, a Goose Game's more...
No. Honk, honk. Gooses to ducks.
Yeah,
goose,
good.
Duck, goose. That's how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, if you've got a way of playing DuckTales Remastered, I recommend it.
I think me and Tim might be having a breakdown.
It's fine. You guys break down away. I can edit this in post. It's fine.
Excellent.
And Ghost of Tsushima. We've finally got some news of a release date. If you go down to the PlayStation blog today, Sucker Punch have announced that the game's release date is the 26th of June. There's also a new story trailer. There are details of the special collectors and deluxe editions.
Because of course
of the
there
game.
Is.
That may be the one and only game in quite a while and possibly for quite some time where I actually buy the collector's edition, possibly.
Whoa, steady on.
I am really looking forward to that game, man. That trailer looked even better.
It's not the Ghost of Tsushima. I'm actually tempted to put some money down on some kind of collector's-y Final Fantasy VII and some kind of collector's-y Avengers.
We'll talk about Final Fantasy VII in a tick.
I didn't care about any of the stuff that came with it. But anyway, yeah.
And Dan's excited because Halo Combat Evolved stealth launched on PC this week.
Well, I'm not just that excited about it. I just think Halo's the thing that people tend to get excited about. And without any fanfare, it just appeared on PC.
So is that part of the Master Chief Collection? It is part of the Master Chief Collection.
Think of all the games with Master Chief in.
Yeah.
Put them in a collection. Call it Master Chief Collection. Unless you're talking about Reach and ODST, which don't have Master Chief.
Does that include the arcade game where you have four friends and you all get on a warthog and shoot stuff?
No,
that looks
sadly
really cool.
Not. Sadly,
they have that near me. I looked at it. I didn't play it. I was like, that looks cool.
Can I just say that was a cool story? Thanks, Colin.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't think they were releasing it. I saw it, and they said it was like a Dave and Buster's exclusive in the US, so I didn't think we'd see it here. And then I was just in a bowling alley and went, there it is.
I have a question, Dan.
Yes.
Did they have the Master Chief Collection on the PC previously?
Well, it released... It did come out just before Christmas, but it only contained Reach. It only contained Reach.
That's not a collection,
Dan. That's
not
much of a collection.
I know, but they called it a collection.
Worst collection ever.
I mean, they collected one thing. Collection's got to start somewhere, mate. You know, I think you're being very mean on them, saying, well, it's only one thing, it's not a collection. You know?
You're not a collection.
You're not a collection either.
Your face isn't a collection.
Your mum isn't, well.
Less of that. Leave Cold Mum out of this.
Cold Mum.
Right, let's knock it on the head with the news there. Shall we talk about what we done played and Tim?
Well, there's one we all done played.
Yes.
We've been playing the Final Fantasy VII Remake demo as well as everyone that owns a PlayStation 4, it seems.
Yeah, so if you've been living under a rock, that has come out on... Well, the demo has come out on the PlayStation Store and is freely downloadable for all of those who would care to go and blow up a Mako reactor or a Mako reactor.
I always said Mako as well, and then it's Mako.
I always said Marco.
Marco. Oh, let
Polo.
Me put my scone down. Someone's troubling the Marco.
What did I say,
Marco?
I can't remember. I was a child.
It's been a long time.
Don't try and back off from it now, come. You know, I said Marco. Isn't it like
25 years ago? Something stupid like that.
Marco.
Shut up.
Aerosmithers, could you put the second disc in the PlayStation? Be a good chap.
Why don't I just kick you from the Discord? Ban you.
It doesn't sound right, you mocking other people for having butlers when your butler has a butler and his butler has a butler. Come on.
That's only because he's got less butlers than me. But I felt I needed to draw attention to it.
If you call my girlfriend a butler, she'll kill me. So, yes, Final Fantasy VII Remake demo. I will preface that me and Tim both played a demo of this at EGX last year, and this is a much larger demo with the same section included.
Extended. That was cool. So, cool, a nice surprise.
What we played before was the scene where you go into the room with the reactor to blow up, and it's just you going down the platforms and the ladders, but they've added soldiers to that area for you to fight. And then you get to the end and fight big scorpion sentinel thing. And I think you have like a 20-minute time limit to do the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whereas this demo, it starts at the start of Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah. Very start of the game.
All the way up to beating the scorpion drone, taking down, setting the bomb and then escaping the building. That's a pretty nice bit of demo.
Yeah.
It is a pretty nice bit of demo. I mean, I don't know. I think I was going in expecting it to be a little more like, certainly the combat, a little bit more like Final Fantasy VII.
Did you try the classic version or the regular?
Oh, I went normal.
Yeah, I went normal as well. I want to go back and try the classic mode because apparently that's meant to be a bit more
turn-based,
menu-based.
Okay. Yeah, because I thought it was quite interesting to try the kind of non-active battle version. But I think it showed its limitations. It was actually quite frustrating keeping tabs of everything, or on everything, and your health, and dodging all the attacks, and looking at the how the boss was going to be telegraphing its moves. That got quite onerous quite quickly. It might just be because I'm a doddery old bugger, but...
I hear it's essentially Final Fantasy 15. I don't know. I haven't played Final Fantasy 15 yet. I really should get around to it. I've got like two versions of that game now. From my memory, it's very Kingdom Hearts in combat.
Don't say that word.
It's kind of third person hack and slash meat mixed with the menu attacks. And then you kind of have to look for tells on the screen while you're playing.
It tried in some bits to be a bit... kind of, it was confusing bringing it up to date. It confused that with being edgy and throwing swear words in for reasons I couldn't quite work out why it did that. And dear God, some of the characters are proper stereotypes.
The Barrett should not sound like that.
No.
Yeah, he does sound a bit wrong, though. Like, I don't know.
I said it during our EGX podcast. In my head canon, Barrett's always sounded like Mr. T. And... that is not
a pitiful, who likes Mako. A pitiful.
But yeah, I wasn't massively impressed with some of the voice acting stuff. But I thought generally Coleman and I have had more time to get used to the idea of the way this game is going to play from having played the demo before. And then I think seeing it in a lengthier setting kind of was like, oh, okay, that's nice. And I was kind of pleased with what I saw. Oddly enough, one of the things I missed from the original game was the fact that, I changed all of the characters' names, and being young and foolish, made most of them swear words, which did make a lot of the text quite interesting. So I have to keep on remembering that Barrett's called Barrett, when to me he's Bastardio.
mine was called Az.
But
because I didn't want to get in trouble by my mum.
I can't remember.
S's were Z's.
Could you rename Cloud in the original, or was he always
you could.
Cloud? I think you could. Yeah, because
I think you'll find you could rename Coleman in the game.
Yeah, so I renamed him to Mutt, I believe. But then Barrett refers to you as Mutt in that demo and
so
in the wording
of
this demo
Mutt,
as well, which
Mutt.
Is quite funny. But yeah,
Mutt.
He refers to you as a Mutt. But
it's
yeah,
like a broken roadrunner.
But generally, I don't know, I'd be interested to go back and see the classic and see how that does play, and if I'm tempted to play that way. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know which way I'd prefer to play through it, getting a bit more used to the new way of playing things, which I kind of like, but like you say, sometimes, especially in the boss battles, is a bit much to get used to, but I think that's something you'll kind of, get more accustomed to as you go.
If you miss the original style of Final Fantasy VII, it exists on every flipping platform now.
Yeah, exactly. You can just play that game.
And as well, there's a really handy feature on the more modern PS4 and Switch and PC versions where you can play the game at double speed if you want to blast through ready for the remake. But I'm very, very excited for this. Some couple of changes I noted in this as well. So... obvious one being is when you finish the battle against the Scorpion droid, you get an option of setting a timer on the bomb, so you can pick 20 minutes or 30 minutes.
I went 20.
You went 20. I went 20. We got the secret ending. That's fine. You get a special ending if you pick 20 minutes.
Okay.
That wasn't included in the demo we played. And also, again, on the EGX podcast, we were talking about when you're in the Mako reactor room that... the graphics look kind of wavy and weird or blurry, and I commented on that, and we theorized that it might be an intentional design choice where it's the vapor of the Mako in the room.
Yeah.
Whereas that doesn't appear to be in the demo, so it might just be that the demo we were playing was a bit buggered.
Yeah, I was quite impressed with the visuals they squeezed out of admittedly I was playing on a PS4 Pro, not a base PS4, but... a bit of me, and again, this is me just being PC master race bellend. Is it getting a release on PC or is it PlayStation
only?
Yes,
but it's after... they haven't given a date.
It'll be when they've actually finished it.
The way they announced this was basically putting out a blog post going, we've changed the cover on the store for Final Fantasy VII Remake. And then when you went and looked at the cover, it says on a big sticker in the bottom right corner, launching on PlayStation 4 or timed exclusive on PlayStation 4 or something along those lines. But
so are they still doing... So one of the things that you get presented with when you finish the demo is, hey, what edition are you going to buy then, sucker?
That's it as well. It doesn't go, would you like to buy the game? It's like, hey, what one do you want to buy right now? Come on,
yeah,
tell
exactly.
me. Tell
and,
me. Give
you
me
know,
your money.
You don't have to, it won't take your PlayStation hostage if you don't. You can cancel out of it. But I thought it was pretty ballsy, actually.
It was pretty in your face.
And I don't know, one thing I was surprised about, there wasn't a lot of honesty around the this is likely to come out in stages.
Yeah, there wasn't, that didn't flag up to me at all when I clicked through. And it was just like,
that's not the way it's going,
entirely
right?
honest.
Still.
Yeah, like it's still episodic.
Did you hear the news about that? We didn't cover it in the news, but did you hear about that this week where Red 13 is in the game? They've shown Red 13 offers production images to go, ooh, look, Red 13's in the game. Look how good he looks. This week they announced that Red 13 isn't actually playable in this version of the game. He will be playable in the other parts of the game to come out, but as he appears so close to the end of the game, they went, oh, it's no point making him playable yet. Let's leave that as a tease.
Yeah.
Which, of course, everyone ran with, Red 13's not playable in Final Fantasy VII. And I went, what? And then you read it and go, oh, right, yeah, I kind of see that. But
I don't know about you, I'm not happy paying £60 for a game that might, like, that has no timetable of when it's going to come out. It could take 2 years. And I'm not happy with that.
No, I think they actually need to be a bit more honest about that. Because you're paying all your money up front.
Well, no, that's the other thing. I think there should be an option to just pay for this part of it. The part that they're releasing now, how much does it cost? Give me a price.
I don't think that's what they're doing, are they? I thought they were releasing them as separate full release price games.
What, as in this will be a £60 part of it,
yeah,
basically?
Yeah.
Ooh.
But I think the idea is it's such a bulked out part. This is the impression I've been getting anyway. This is a single part, but it is a complete game because it is... is essentially part one of this series of games coming out because it's so bulked up and all these additions and stuff to it that it will last you like a full peak, you know, full big release game.
I'm not sure I'm ready to drink that much Kool-Aid for this, actually.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. But this is how I felt early on when they announced it was a series, and immediately in my head I got Telltale. Because Telltale would go, okay, this game is in four parts or this game is in five parts. And they release the first part of the game, and then they kind of hint when the next one will be out, and then they tell you when the next one will be out, and then it wouldn't come out, and then it'd be pushed back a month or so. And it was very, very annoying. When they announced that Final Fantasy VII Remake would be in parts, initially I had that same kind of impression. I don't want to buy part one if I don't know when part two is coming out. But then the more I look at it and the more I, you know, listen to interviews, and I get this impression that it's going to be this full scope game that will then have, it's not part one, part two, part three. Think of it more as one, two, three, like sequels rather than parts.
I heard the same news, but didn't interpret it the same way. I think you're probably right from what you're saying, but I interpret it as like, we're building it into full, we'll sell it in small parts and we've bulked those parts out. I wasn't expecting to be bulked out to a £60 price point, though.
At no point do I think that, I think this is going to be a full-fledged AAA game. I don't think at any point they've gone, this is a season pass you're buying and you'll get the other bits down the road. I think this is part one in a series of games.
If for the price they're asking, they need to be a
lot... There needs to be some clarity on that.
There needs to be a lot more clarity on that.
That's fine. And as well, we're thinking of this as well as people that have played Final Fantasy VII way back when, and we know what a chunk of going from... I mean, from what we got to work with now is, we'll say it's Midgar, leaving Midgar. So we know how long Midgar is. You can do it in half a day, you know? I don't think that's how this game is going to be. I don't think it's going to be straight A to B Midgar.
Do we want an entire, like, the entire first part of the game all restricted to being set in Midgar, though, kind of thing, right? Like, that's what it sounds like.
But the thing is, it might be an open Midgar. You don't know. We don't know how this is going to work. I'm still very excited for the game. And if down the road they go, oh, Final Fantasy VII Remake didn't sell well because we weren't clear and upfront about the parts we sold and stuff, but Final Fantasy VII Part 1 is essentially a full release game and it's a slice of Final Fantasy VII, what it could have been as a... I'm happy with that because at least I got to play the damn thing and it looks really good.
Okay, so just being obtuse for a moment, okay. This thing is titled Final Fantasy VII Remake, not Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 1.
Yes, but this is from a company that made Final Fantasy X and Final Fantasy X-2. 13, 13-2, 13-3, 13-4.
I honestly feel they need to actually clearly signal what the heck's going on with this.
Yeah, they should have been way more upfront about this stuff, because it leads us to talk 10 minutes about Final Fantasy VII Remake.
I know. Yeah. They've done their job, damn it.
Yeah, the speculation is out there. But I am very excited about this.
Oh, I thought it was... I was impressed with it. I don't know. I don't know whether or not kind of the slightly cheesy JRPG acted out dialogue is quite my wheelhouse, but, you know, it is what it is, right?
I am fine with it. I'm going to jump to the comment section just to bring some comments up, because we got a couple of our Big Red Barrel friends on Twitter that gave us some feedback regarding the Final Fantasy VII Remake demo. So I thought I'd slot it in here, because DMed, first of all, he contacted us to say visually it's impressive, combat is fun and intuitive, the voice acting is a little bit corny but is fine. I'm still not picking this up until I know the full project, what the full project will entail, in brackets, how many parts, how linear it is, etc.
See, yeah, even he doesn't know exactly what's
He's pretty much on the same idea as you guys. Kev, good old Kevin White, he flies through the night.
Who dat?
Who dat? New phone, who dat?
He eats a lot of fibre. He does a ginormous anyway.
Yeah, he said, it's better than it has any right to be. And I'm still very concerned about how they handle the post-Midgar stuff Midgar? In the next few games. Like, am I going to be able to run my Chocobo Mugenics lab and fly an airship or what?
How's your father? All right.
I am aware that I did that accent for Kev, but didn't do an Irish one for DMed, so there we go.
Well, aww, you can get away with one or not the other. That's why.
Hello there.
No, don't risk it.
Anyway, that's Final Fantasy VII Remake demo.
Indeed.
Do you want to... Dan, you've been playing The Division 2 Warlords of New York, and I want to know about this. How is it?
Well, it's actually... Well, I mean, for a start, part of the thing with Warlords of New York is that it's kind of the expansion's releasing at the same time as a complete overhaul of many of the game systems. So I spent, in anticipation of Warlords of New York coming out, I spent the past couple of weeks. £1,000. Yes, £1,000. £1,000 on getting my butler to play the game and then tell me what it's all about. So I spent a lot of time learning what the mechanics were again, because it'd been a while since I picked it up, and then pretty much everything's changed. I was really happy with my character build, and turns out that they just said, yeah, that's interesting, everything. We're just going to make him completely useless from here on out. So the setup of Warlords of New York is that the evil rogue division agent, Aaron Keener,
he's a git.
He's a bloody toe rag.
He's a wank.
Is he? Yes, he is a. He's yes, a wank. Why not? he's a jizz pigeon. Is what he is. That's what I'm anyway, better than beer. No, I'm not going to say anymore. He is causing all kinds of a ruckus, releasing a new biological terror upon the poor people of New York. And he's also got four sidekicks with him, all of whom are monkeying around with the remnants of the factions who were in the first Division game, which was set in New York.
The first Division?
Yes. So basically the plot of this is you get told shit's going down in New York. You better jump in your helicopter and go to New York and sort said shit out. So that's where it is. So you've got Aaron Keener, and you're going on a manhunt. You're trying to work out where he is and what he's doing. And to do that, you've got to go on four little investigations that all culminate in kind of a showdown with one of his henchmen or women. And that's where it kind of goes. A non-binary hench.
Of equal gender.
Yes.
Equal gender?
Yeah. A gender-fluid hench.
Yes.
I'm so confused.
I'm very confused as well.
Just keep digging that hole, Colin.
So it's not the playable area in New York isn't the same as the original Division game. It's essentially the easternmost part of the of Manhattan is where the game is based. There's some really interesting commentaries about what happens after the outbreak has passed, about what people do now they're no longer in danger, actually how society tries to recover. But the one thing I will say is, my God, it's a bit on the nose if coronavirus is a thing in the news.
No, because Division 2 is not political, Dan.
It's not political at all.
No, it's not political. It has no bearing on the current climate.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with that at all. No. Sorry, Bob.
How dare you put that out of your mind?
Yes, but I mean, I think the kind of the thing you get if you buy the expansion, which you don't get if you've elected not to buy the expansions, there's kind of an additional like world level. So if you haven't bought expansion, you can only level up to level 30. And if you bought the expansion, you can go all the way up to level 40 and then unlock the new character progression system, which takes a bit of a leaf from the badass ranks from Borderlands. So you kind of on every level you unlock a point to spend on a different attribute of your character, which is permanent. So they've borrowed that from there. One of the other big things they've done is kind of change how recalibration, customizing your gear works. So before in the Division, you essentially got to re-roll a stat or dismantle one item to put one attribute on another one. Whereas now what you do is you can bank those attributes. So rather than having to kind of keep a load of stuff in your inventory just in case you want to dismantle it to steal a perk off it, you can now actually just straight pull a perk out the library, apply it to a gun that you like, which is a really nice way to do it. So that is great. I mean, it's really going to enable like the almost Diablo-esque min-maxing of characters, which the Division tried a little bit, but the original Division 2 tried a little bit, but in this expansion and in this change to how the game works, you know, really doubles down on that. So I mean, I'm still getting my head around all of the changes. It is quite an overwhelming amount of change for the game, and I think time will tell how the grind for the perfect bit of gear pans out. But they are also, I mean, they seem to be adopting a lot of things from other looter shooters. They've also borrowed the season pass idea from Destiny 2. So there's now kind of a season pass where as you level up, you unlock more and more items. There's also like a seasonal event, you know, again, is that a tip of the hat to Destiny 2, where there is like an evolving story. Every 3 weeks, there's a new bad person, at bad person BQ+, who you need to hunt down.
Kind of like the current Hitman series.
Yeah, exactly. And find like the big bad who they all work for and eventually show them a thing or two. So I think it's an exciting time, and I think it's very brave at the depth of the changes that Ubisoft were willing to make with the Division 2 as part of the release of this expansion. So I'm going to be putting a bit more time into it, playing it quite a bit on PC at the moment. There is a big Rebel Clan search for us. We've got almost a full raid team if everyone decides to show up. So yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's, if you got it for £2.50, you know, it probably might be worth, if you're enjoying it, it might be worth dropping the 15, 20 quid on the expansion. Because after all, Common, I understand, good guy Ubisoft, after you bought it for a tenner and then they put it on sale for even cheaper, refunded you the difference.
They did. I didn't even notice as well. I was just kind of looking at my accounts and it went, there was a little bit of money added, and in the comment, it said Ubisoft. Why is Ubisoft sending me money? And then I looked and they'd sent me an email that I missed in the shuffle of spam, you know. And they'd gone, hey, we know you bought
Shuffle
Division 2.
Shuffle of spam. What a shuffle deck of spam. Cards that go, would be.
We see you bought Division 2, which we've now reduced to this price. Anyone that's bought it at this price. Anyway, we've given you a refund. Yeah. I'm like, yay, yeah, thank you.
I thought that was pretty good of them, to be fair.
I mean, I've not had personally, but I've had mates that have had issues with Steam, for instance, back in the day, where they've bought a game and then the payment screen has crashed and they've ended up buying the same game twice and then not being able to get a refund. And kind of the experience has been along the lines of, well, sucks to be you. So it's nice that I didn't even ask. They just did it.
Yeah, I think that that's a really, really nice move that they did that. But,
yeah.
And, you know, Divi 2...
Doesn't make up for the Assassin's Creed Unity launch, but...
Well,
it's a step.
No, to be fair, very, very little would.
I don't know. I think that had its comedy weight in gold in screenshots and videos alone. Well,
inside out faces.
Yeah, that was a good one.
It's pretty all right to play now, actually.
Amongst, bug launch things, that I don't think that was a problem one, really. I know it
amongst
got a lot of...
Buggy
launches, I think that wasn't the worst one to have. I think that was something where, it looked funny. There's been worse launches of games, even though it got a lot of bad publicity for the comedy of it.
Assassin's Creed.
It was funny.
That's the Viking one, isn't it?
Yes.
Assassin's Creed. Good.
Oh, we saw Silly Coleman.
We're having a weird one today.
We are having a weird one. So yes, Division 2, Wallers of New York. I've been quite enjoying it. If you're looking for, it's a very satisfying looter shooter. I think it does that aspect of things and kind of the really customizing building your own character. I think it probably does that a lot better than Destiny 2 at the moment. But man, it is a Tom Clancy game. I will give you that. If you want to get such quality dialogue as, and let me just look the screenshot up. I sent my friend Rigo. I've had enough. This stick needs to die, and I don't care who we have to go through or who we have to work with to do it. That you can't get, frankly, much more of a Tom Clancy line than that. And it is just ridiculous. I mean, the brilliant thing is that it is just so not self-aware at all about it. It's brilliant. But no, it is a good game. I am enjoying it, and I think it's well worth a look. Yeah, so as Coleman rightly pointed out, we're having a bit of a weird one today, so I think it's probably best that we all go and have a lie down. So, Tim Hibbs.
I'll go edit.
Timothy Hibbs.
Yeah?
Tell me about the Tabletop Tuesday.
Well, yep, every Tuesday, each and every Tuesday, we have an event called the Tabletop Tuesday in the Loading Bar in Dalston. I chucked in a few more thes than I actually needed in those sentences.
So
still,
I went randomly club style for the intro for it for some reason.
The table,
I have
the
no
top,
idea why.
The Tuesday.
Each and every Tuesday we have a different feature game, and if you play that feature game that evening, you have a chance of winning a copy of the game at the end of the evening.
Yowza, tell me what game I could win, Timothy.
This week's game is a little game called Try Hand.
Is that like when you sat in your hand and then it's... Oh, never mind.
No, it's a bit like stone, paper, scissors with extra bits. But yeah, it looks like a fairly easy to pick up and play game, a kind of little party game for smaller groups of people. Should be a good one to come along and
How
get
small?
A game of nice and quickly.
Small people
Deck
or
of
a group
cards
of not...
Small. Deck of cards small, and not many games are smaller
than
that.
It's only a game that can be played by groups of tiny people.
Well, I'm not precluding them from doing so,
Or is it a group of people that is few in number? You've got to be more specific about these things, Tim.
I don't, and I shan't.
Yeah, you do. You should be. Because both Coleman and I came to the same conclusion.
And if you cared that much, you could check it out on the top left-hand corner of bigredbarrel.com, where there are more and full details and a little video of helping you to learn the game. Although in this case, there's not much video content for this game, and it's not even listed on Board Game Geek. So this is an unusual game that doesn't happen very often. But yeah, it should be a interesting one to come along and check out. You might not see it many other places. And it looked like an interesting quick to play game. I think there's like 6 different games that you can play from the deck of cards available, basically. So yeah, interesting one to pick up and play. We had a really fun Tabletop Tuesday last week. It was really packed. We filled all the tables, which is always a good thing for a tabletop event to do. Lots of people playing games, and lots of people played the feature game and liked that. And then we had Bez of Stuff by Bez come along and run some competitions as well. So we had multiple winners on the evening as well. So, yeah, it was a good evening.
That is Tryhand at Tabletop Tuesday in Dalston Loading Bar in London on the 10th of March.
Excellent.
Also, a very quick update on Gosh this week as well. Geek Out for Gosh. Just there isn't too much in the way of other things to announce right at the moment, but they have released some really cool artwork, which has been in the works for a while. It's kind of an 8-bit artwork with a kind of hospital in and stuff, and kind of Peter Pan themed. Yeah, really cool. Check that out. It's really awesome. It's currently in the top of the Geek Out for Gosh Twitter account, so you can check it out there. It's probably on other social medias. I just have access to it there. But also, they've launched a whole kind of Tiltify page, and there's going to be lots of bonuses for doing your own DIY stream at home, and there'll be some rewards you can actually get for doing that on behalf of Gosh. If you raise a certain amount of money, you'll get some bonuses in return, basically. So you can join that at We Are Tiltify and check out the Geek Out for Gosh page, which again is on their social media stuff, so check out at Geek Out for Gosh.
You guys want some feedback from the community? So just before we start recording, Tim did actually tell us this, and I poo-pooed it from the agenda because I wasn't paying attention to what he was saying fully, but Benjamin has shown me an actual article. So The Last of Us is being adapted into an HBO TV series. That's Neil Druckmann from Naughty Dog working with the creator of Chernobyl, which I believe is a very successful program.
That was probably, and I don't say this lightly, but that was probably one of the best TV programs, if not the best I've ever
seen. It was really unsettling though, dude.
Yeah,
I have seen the first episode.
In a really, yeah, unsettling way, but I thought it was gripping and awesome and anyway, either way, it's very good.
I'll get to it,
but yeah, definitely worth watching. But yeah, like, I think that's really good news. Like, that's you know, the person that we really want involved with it from the studio, and like almost the dream team of another writer, and presumably with a decent budget behind it, as is HBO.
My girlfriend, who's the world's biggest Last of Us fan, and still plays Last of Us every day online, she is very excited about this. though I remember correctly, she didn't like Chernobyl. So, hey, we'll see what happens. Okay, we got a couple more comments via the Discord section of Discord.
Discord.
That's the one. Jump A and XP. He has given us the question of, after seeing a ton of Doom / Animal Crossing stuff recently, if you could cross over two wildly different game series and have characters interact with each other, what two would you pick?
Okay.
As I've been thinking about this all day, I would like to mix up my favorite games. Buster Groove and the Arkham series. I want to see Batman dance off with Bane and the Joker.
Like to see a crossover between Nobi Nobi Boy and Gears of War.
I just want to hear David Hayter say, "Nobi Nobi Boy." Oh my god.
See, I'm tempted to say like two of my favorites, Street Fighter and Star Wars, but then I saw the Masters of Terrakazi.
Masters of Terrakazi.
Yeah,
that just warns me to be careful what you wish for, so I don't know. Maybe that's not a good idea.
I think I remember very early on into our friendship where you mentioned that Terrascarzi is not actually a bad game, and I think I nearly fought you.
No. That is not what I would have said then, and is not what I would say now.
I think you were saying it to intentionally wind me up.
No, it's a playable game. It's a game I enjoy playing. I have never claimed it to be a good game, unless, yes, I was just pointing.
You just saved that for Rise.
Skydark via Discord, he says that I don't want to say Skydark, he's asked for more Kevin Pac-Man. We're working on that. Pac-Man's in the
Moment though, we were just speaking a West Country accent. Who's that?
Have more of both of them on. A lot of the time I'm kind of making sure that we all get here at the last minute, and sometimes one of us doesn't happen and we don't really get enough warning. One of us doesn't make it, but we don't really get, it's usually a last minute thing these days, and we don't get much warning if that's the case, so we don't get as much warning to get one of them in. But we will try, because it'd be good to get both of them on. I like podcasting with both of them.
It's good to get extra people on in general. I see how well it was when Sarah was on a couple of weeks ago.
True.
Good. And I'll just skip his next question just to jump to Stingo, and then I'll go back to Sky Dark. And also, Tim's got to say Stingo.
Stingo!
There we go. He wants to know if there's any updates on BRB's long-absent podcast, e.g. the comics podcast, Comics Inc., and Brown.
Can I, without wishing to sound like I'm massively throwing people under the bus, I'd love to have some updates on them too.
we quite like them too. Feel free to ask their hosts on Twitter. I will get in contact with Rick and Ruben and see what's going on with Comics Inc. Because
I know Rick's been very busy of late.
Yeah, he has been incredibly busy. Rick works for me, so I know when he's really busy.
And Brown, I guess their circumstances has changed a bit. There's been talk of them coming back at some time. I'd love them to come back, and even if it's just every once in a while, do a podcast. And there's an open invitation for them to do so. Feel welcome to bug them into doing it.
Yeah, I mean, follow those guys on Twitter by all means. I hunt them down, but they constantly threaten that they're going to make a new Boom show, and I have been at that because I took over their editing duties for that show. So every time they do it, I'm ready, I'm poised, because I'm a fan of the Boom show. So I'm like, yes, come on, yes, let's do it. I'm ready. I spend a long time editing their show. I'm like, come on, give me. I'm ready for this. Anyway, back to Sky Dark. He wants to know, question of the week. Do you care about trophies / achievements and have to get that platinum? For me, yes, I'm the guy who lets the team down by trying to get in 25 melee kills with a banana in a team deathmatch just for that bleep bloop. What game are you playing team deathmatch with a banana?
Probably PUBG.
Is that Sea of Thieves cross between flipping CSGO or something?
Why
That's
not?
A CSGO hack, isn't it?
I mean, I used to care, but now I really don't.
It was a nice new novelty when the 360 and the PS3 came about, and it was a new system. And actually, because I remember at the time I had the 360, I had the PS3, and I had the Wii. And it actually put me off playing the Wii that I didn't have these platinum and achievements involved, and wish that Nintendo would make something to it. These days, I'm not so excited about them, but in small cases like where Spider-Man came out and I was close to beating that game, it felt like it was getting to the end. I looked at the trophies and went, I'm about 3 trophies away until I platinum this.
So
and then I managed to line it up, so when I beat the last boss in that game, it goes boom, platinum, and it was a very nice feeling, like I have just completed this game fully.
I've never platinumed a game, I don't think.
Really?
No, really?
I've never got 1,000 gamer score, and I've never platinumed a game. Like, it was an early choice on, I think it was Amped 3 on the original Xbox, and all I had to do to get the last 20 so points from to get me to the 1,000 gamer score was go into the course curator. And I made the decision of, I don't want to do that, so I'm not going to do it.
You truly are a lazy toe rag.
You're the weirdest person sometimes, Tim.
I don't understand you.
Literally, from day one, though, that literally freed me of any shackles. I still will, if I really enjoy a game, I will go look at the trophies or achievements and to see if there's any of those that I think are fun and want to do. But I won't wind myself up or make myself hate a game that I love by playing a bit of it I don't
make
like.
Make yourself hate a game.
Hate.
Also, I like when there are random trophies that you don't expect. I don't see them now because I always have notifications turned off. But, for instance, when I played Crackdown, the very first Crackdown, and decided in that game when I powered up enough, as I really want to climb the tallest build. It's an open world game. I want to climb the tallest building in this game and then jump off it and see if I die.
Did you want to climb every mountain? Did you want to reach for the moon?
I did. Right. I wanted to.
Do you want to follow that
field.
Rainbow?
All that.
Really?
And then you dream. And it took a while because there's points where it let you go up so high onto the top of the highest building, but you need to have enough agility orbs and stuff to let you jump to the top. And when I finally got to the top, and I was like, this is so cool, jumped off. And then I think I landed in like a pool of water, so therefore my character didn't die. And then an achievement popped up because I went to the tallest point and jumped to the lowest point without dying. And it was just like a really nice moment where I'm like, wow, I didn't look for that. It just happened. Or Red Dead Redemption, where you can tie up a woman and then put her on the train tracks and wait for a train. Pops up and says, dastardly. I'm like, that's brilliant.
Look, I have to say, I was just having a look at my... I've got 3 platinum trophies to my name.
Oh, I don't know how many I've got, actually. Little live look. I was trying to see if I could figure out if Tim has got any, but there you go. I've got 12.
Platinums?
12 platinums. There you go.
Jesus Christ.
Flipping MLG right here. That's got to be a record, right?
Jesus.
Yeah, they're somewhat short of a record. It's a record amongst the three of us on the show.
I know one of them is a joke platinum that I got, which was for a game called I Am Mayo, where you literally tap the screen until you get a platinum.
Great.
Yeah.
Bloody hell, you have as well.
It was a dollar.
Dollar bill, y'all.
I think I Am Mayo, that was... Okay, so Spider-Man, I Am Mayo. There's got to be like a Walking Dead or something. Oh, that's 100%. Batman Arkham VR is 100%, but you don't get a platinum, which really upset me. Day of the Tentacle Remastered. I beat that twice and only got one platinum. Tales from the Borderland. Okay, there are a lot of Telltale games. That's probably why. You get
probably
an instant,
why you get all of them.
Yeah, you get an instant 100% platinum or 100% achievement for beating those games. Unless they're
just the
remastered versions of the
games.
Yeah. Unless I think the only one that doesn't is 500 Days on Walking Dead, and also the which has multiple branching paths, so that's why it's you have to get trophies for different things. So
got Little Acre, you got a platinum on that.
Little Acre, oh god, yes, I love that game. and then the other one is when they re-released season 1 and 2 of The Walking Dead on the and also The Wolf Among Us on the PS4. And the Xbox One, they wouldn't let 100% achievements or platinum trophies on there for some reason.
I mean, I would like to care about them again, put it that way, because I think when done right, they can actually really enhance the game and encourage you to do things you wouldn't have usually tried out.
I think they still do. I think they still do. Like I say, if
good and bad achievements as well, kind of thing. Though.
If there's funny surprise achievements that you don't expect and they catch you off guard, that's a really cool thing. And if you were close to beating a game, you're like, oh, I'm only like 3 or 4 achievements away from getting that 100%. It's a nice feeling to go, I 100% beat this game. It's a nice feeling. It's like in the old days where you get a game and unlock all the characters and the skins and everything and you go, now there is nothing else to unlock. I know I've beaten this game.
Little Big Planet 2. There we go. There's another platinum you got.
Yeah. I think that was a glitch.
Yeah.
Was it one of those levels you loaded up where it was like
XXX1X1! I think this was I've been in contention about this before with someone. I think this was an issue with the PS3 and the game itself, where I loaded the game up and it instantly gave me a platinum, because if you look, I don't have all the trophies, I just have a platinum.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a really good game.
There we go.
Yes, it was.
Right. We're going to finish now.
We're going to flip off.
And what you should do is make sure you're going over to www.bigredbarrel.com, come say hello, or click on the link on that page to our Discord and drop and say hello there too. Or guess what? You can also say hello on Twitter by going to twitter.com/bigredbarrel or facebook.com/bigredbarrel. But you can say hello to us on Facebook, not hello to Twitter on Facebook, because, yeah.
Hello, Twitter on Facebook.
You can say that if you want. I mean, knock yourself out. I mean, it's free world.
Follow Twitter on Facebook.
Yeah, do that. Actually, then the universe might implode. Love saving us all from coronavirus.
Go to the Twitter's Facebook page.
Does Facebook have a Twitter account?
And then go to Facebook's Twitter account and follow them.
Does Facebook have a Twitter account?
I don't know.
Yes, it does.
There you go.
No, it doesn't. It's Facebook, but it's not Facebook.
Ah.
They're only followed by 728 people, but they are verified.
Does Tom have a Twitter account?
Tom?
Yeah, remember Tom? He'd be your only friend on, like, MySpace.
But I've got a cat.
No, did you ever have a MySpace account? And I think this is MySpace, wasn't it? You'd have a MySpace account, and if you looked in your friends list to start off with, you'd always have this one guy called Tom, and it's just some white dude giving you a thumbs up. Like, hey, Tom.
I'm really envious of some people's Twitter handles that they've got, and they just have only got, like, bugger all followers. Someone with @Dan.
Yep.
Yep, and there's an @Knobhead as well.
Good.
He's followed by 51 people.
Are they your first
two
options, Dan?
Yep.
Dan and Knobhead.
Dan or Knobhead.
Yep, pretty much.
There's, I would have thought we'd be more annoyed about the Captain
Belen's
Averages.
@Belen's been suspended.
I mean, that says, like, you know, that makes sense, no?
There's at Wizard Sleeve is still present, but I've got a feeling it's someone who describes themselves as an aspiring witch. There's a picture of Hogwarts, and they might not understand what Wizard Sleeve actually means.
Mysteriously, their PlayStation account's been suspended. And they don't know why.
Amazing. Anyway, that's enough nonsense.
That was a little jaunt into Twitter.
It was, wasn't it? I enjoyed it. It was very nice.
Now let's go.
We are going to go now. So thank you ever so much for listening. And all that remains is for us to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I've been Coleman.
Yes, you have.
Huzzah.
Brilliant. Right. We are definitely going to disappear. Thank you for letting us in. Habit your ear holes, and we shall be back there this time next week. So thank you ever so much for listening, and until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
Welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.
All right, 5, 4...
I am recording.
Start again.
5, 4, 3, 2. That's really distracting.
You're going to have to start again.
One more time.
Just to spite you, here's what we're going to do. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6,
5, 4, 4.5.
That's the wrong way. 4, 3.5, 3.25, 3, 3.75, 2, surprising you, 1... Oh,
coronavirus got him.
Is that right?
Oh. Why is Destiny 2 in such big letters?
Because it got nominated for something and I thought I'd just draw attention to it.
Well done, Dan. Would you like some points of interest, chaps?
All right,
yeah.
Man.
So just 1 week on where we report that there was a cancelled Star Wars game that was in the works last year, and then Dan ruins the agenda by... Wow, you seriously lost my train of thought there.
Sorry, all right, I've put it back. There we go.
And now it's gone again. God damn it. It keeps moving. I missed one.
What?
Missed one what?
Question from Stingo.
Who's playing Borderlands?
Who's playing Borderlands?
No one.
I was.
Borderlands 1, 2 or 3?
Pick what you want.
Free will, Tim.
I did actually play 1. I played a bit of 2, but I kept on restarting again and again. And then I didn't bother picking up 3.
Just as long as it's not that pre-sequel. I'm not having any of that.
I'd rather have 2 in VR than 3, I think, possibly. But, you know,
Shut up.